I've got 5 tabs open in Chrome, the Safari window open that's logged onto a different account, Ladio, 4 QuickTime windows open for my sound bites, iMessage open for the chat in between you and I, and another Google window open for the Hangout itself. Hello and welcome to the Ritual Misery Podcast, episode beta 41 for Friday the 3rd of July 2015. This is the show where two lifelong friends talk about geek stuff and whatever else comes to mind. I'm Amos, and with me today is not Kent, and we'll discuss that in a minute. not my lifelong friend, simply my friend for several years now, Mr. The Only Richard Gunther. How you doing, man?
I'm doing okay. How you doing?
This is actually the first time I've done the show without Kent. He's done a couple without me, but this is my first time out without him. It seems a little weird, a little odd. It's, you know, just different environment.
I'll try and live up.
Well, I'm sure the shoes aren't too big for you to fill. You know, it's just Kent. So I'm sure he'll hear that and love it.
Yeah.
So Richard Gunther, of Digital Media Zone. You've got a couple podcasts that you do on your own. You were welcome to the opportunity to come out here anytime you wanted to. And when Kent had a personal tragedy in his family this weekend, I asked you if you would join in, and you were like, well, yeah. So yeah. Many thanks to you.
And we did a little bit of time zone math and figured out that we could do a show after you had a night out and I just got up.
that's pretty much how it has to be when I'm like, I don't know, what, 13 hours ahead of you or something. So I fuzzy math. It's all G-Dub could tell you how we got the math, but we're just lucky we're here at the same time. So, all right, man. So how has your week been? I know you've said it's pretty busy, so you're falling in line with Kent there, but, how's it actually been?
You know, holiday weeks and weeks where you take leave always seem to be a little bit crazier than usual. And it has been busy, but luckily it wasn't one of those things where everything just came in at once at the last minute, because that happens so often. And I was really happy that yesterday it kind of went out with a whimper. And I'm like, yes, yes, I can actually enjoy the weekend now. So good stuff.
Yeah, I had kind of the opposite. I had a whole bunch of things come through on Friday or Thursday, and I spent about half the day sick as a dog at work, just trying to get things done so I could actually enjoy my weekend. And I escaped with only one project that I have to do on my off time this weekend. So I'm feeling pretty good about that.
So you are constantly getting sick when you're at work, and you're not even home with a kid now. So what's the excuse? I mean, what the hell?
This time I think it was a matter of the food that I ate combined with my workout. I was actually on the row machine, and I get car sick pretty easy. And this particular day, my row machine, instead of having something to look at on a little display, it was kind of going bonkers. So I wasn't able to just focus on my stats as I was rowing, and I got kind of car sick, and that combined with the fact that my tummy wasn't feeling all that great anyway.
Oh, that kind of sick. Okay. No more details.
Yeah. My bad. No. But yeah, it's kind of a perfect storm of just things that my body doesn't like all tackling me at once. So it was just, you know, not fun. But that is, that's really small fries compared to, Kent's week. We found out on Saturday that his mom had passed. This woman was essentially a second mom to me growing up. In fact, I think maybe in public I've used her actual name, Anne, maybe 3 or 4 times, including that right there. It's always just been mom. She was one of the people she was always an outstanding person. Even though she knew we were all hoodlums and everything else, she always welcomed us with a big smile and gave us a hugs and you know, made sure that if we were hungry, we either had cookies or an actual meal. One day we wanted to go just look at a garage sale for comic books, and she drove us 20 miles out of the way just to go look at comic books and drove us back, you know. She was just one of those really kind-hearted people that absolutely loved the family she was around.
Awesome. And, you know, it's really rough. I feel like we are just too young to be losing parents already. And, you know, I'm the sole survivor in my family now. And it just seems crazy because I know I'm getting older, but it just seems like it's too soon.
Yeah. Yeah. I was an only child. I never really had a relationship with my father. My mom is still alive, still kicking. Kent had a sister, an older sister that he lost when he was in elementary school, I think. His dad passed a few years ago, and then his mom this last weekend. So he is now the only, you know, the sole survivor for his family besides his two sons. So I can't even imagine what he's going through. I'm not even going to try to explain it or anything else. Just, it sucks, you know, and I don't know what everybody's spiritual beliefs are. Mine happen to be that, you know, our life here is a stepping stone into something greater. And I really hope that's the case because of all the people that I've known that have passed, Kent's mom really deserved to go somewhere better than where we are right now. So there's our somber moment for the show. Now we can get back to the laughing and, you know, give Kent our best and hope he's doing well, up in Indiana handling that business. And,
yeah, definitely good thoughts to him and his friends there.
Yeah. Now, that being said, this week we were supposed to have Steve Perry on. Like, we had it all lined up. Kent's been trying to get Steve Perry on for weeks, and we had it all lined up. He was going to come on this weekend, and that happened. Ooh. So, yeah, Steve Perry. He's written, oh, man, Kent would be able to tell you all about this dude. He's written some Star Wars stuff. He's written some comics, some books. He's been part
really
of...
Really respectful, right? Who? No.
Yeah, he's one of those people that's in the background of all these great projects that all the geeks are loving, but his name's never really been in the spotlight. And we're hopefully very soon we will be able to have him on. I'm sure maybe the next couple of weeks we'll be able to get it worked out. But he has some tragedies. Oh, I don't say tragedy. His wife like shattered her ankle or something like that, and that put it off until this week. And then so, you know, ankle to, you know, dad mom. That's, I don't know, that's a great transition, but. So this week, I am very glad that Richard's here.
Because your show just kind of fell apart all around you this week.
Oh, my gosh. Like, I needed to have some good company and some good laughs. And, man, I couldn't think of a better person to have on the show, especially with your heavily opinionated attitudes towards things. So, but before we get to that, a couple geeky things of the week. I did stay up on Tuesday night, my time, until Wednesday morning. That would have been the 1st of July, my time, 14 hours prior to my wife's birthday where she was, just to shoot her a message on Facebook, a happy birthday message, as soon as midnight hit my time. I know that's one of those things that's like, duh, why would you do that? That's lame. But that's the kind of shit I do for my wife. So happy birthday, Sarithia.
Very cool.
I'm glad I was the first one to wish you a happy birthday this year. So that was my geeky thing of the week. I stayed up intentionally. I was so tired. But midnight's not actually that late for me typically, but that day, just I was really tired. And yeah, so she's turned, I think she turned 25 again this year.
They always do.
Pretty sure. Maybe it was 24 this year. I don't know. It's around there somewhere. I'm sure of it.
I celebrated anniversaries of my 29th birthday for many years before I got over it.
Age is like hair, man. I don't want either one of them. Like,
well, that's a good thing.
I keep getting older and I keep having hair grow back. I'm just, why? Why can't I stop both of these things at the same time? So how's your week as far as geeky things of the week, man?
Well, I expected a longer story from you because I have a longer story.
Well, good, because that's why I brought you on, because you can actually shoot the shit when I don't have a whole lot to say. So give it to us, man.
My geeky thing of the week is a little bit what's the word for it when you're kind of degrading yourself, when you're kind of telling a story that makes you look bad? That's what I'm going to be doing. So I am on the phone and on Google Hangouts with coworkers and with my clients all day long. I work out of my home. And so I'm constantly in video or teleconferences with people. And I've been trying to find a solution where I could have one headset that would work for everything. where I could have one headset that would work for my mobile phone. It would work for my desk phone, because then I mentioned I'm old. I have a landline. You're not prying it out of my cold, dead hands. And I also use my computer a lot for video calls and stuff like that. So I wanted one thing that would work with all these. Well, lo and behold, Plantronics, which makes a whole lot of like office equipment and communications equipment, has a solution for this. And it is an uncheap solution. It is ridiculously expensive. And I've put it off and put it off and put it off. And my boss got one, and he's raving about it. Loves it, loves it, loves it. So I bought one, but I bought the next model up. Not to up him, but because I also wanted one that was going to work with my landline. So, you know, like most normal people, he doesn't have a landline anymore. So I buy it. It arrives yesterday. I set it up. And the idea is this is a wireless headset. So it uses DECT. Is that the way that you pronounce that? DECT, the technology that that wireless phones use around the house. I don't know. Anyway, it uses that to be able to communicate with the base. And so you can roam around with it if you want to. Well, I plug it into the landline and I find out, now this is fairly expensive technology. Did I mention this?
I feel disappointment coming any second now.
You can't plug the phone into the phone line, like the wall jack. You actually have to plug it into the handset. Like, take your handset off your phone and plug the handset into this thing. And if you still want your handset for some reason, they have an adapter that you can plug that into. But what that means is, to use it with the phone, you have to lift the phone up. Like, couldn't they just put a friggin' relay and some basic... A phone costs like $7 at Best Buy. Couldn't they just shove that stuff into this thing so it was built into it?
Oh, man. That's a $3 trip to Radio Shack, but they probably couldn't find a Radio Shack to run into.
Nicely played. So I'm coming to terms with this. I'm like, all right, well, I'll use it for my video calls and I'll use it for my desk calls for the rest of the day. And I do. And I'm on a hangout. And, you know, I use my video when I'm on a hangout, but now I'm not tethered anymore. It's awesome. I can get up and pace around when I'm talking like I do when I'm on the phone, instead of being tethered by the wires like you are right now. Right.
I don't know what the problem is.
Yeah, well, I like to walk around while I'm talking. And so this gave me the ability to do that. So I'm in a call with some team members and I forget that my video's on. And I'm talking to them and I get up and I stand up and I'm just standing in front of my computer and start scratching my belly a little bit. And I know I pulled up my shirt and, like, you know, scratched at my navel. And I'm just praying now that I am thinking back at this that I wasn't actually scratching anywhere else. I look back at my computer and I said, the little green light's on.
It's awesome. Oh, man.
So,
yeah.
That's my geeky story of the week. Be careful about the wireless technology.
The self-degradation is going great right at this point. Wow. Oh, my gosh. Yes. Whew. Yeah, I see, there have been times, because I typically do the podcast and, you know, and just, I'm not wearing like jeans. I'm wearing like night shorts or whatever, you know. Pajama shorts, and sometimes I'll get up while I'm recording, and it won't feel like I'm wearing, you know, pajama shorts. It'll feel like I'm just wearing skivvies, and yeah. So I can almost feel your pain, but I've never actually been caught just scratching myself.
That was awesome. So I'm glad I could recreate that for the posterity of this show. Check it out on YouTube if you missed it in the call.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah, that's, so basically you're saying that, Your Plantronics headset, while it worked for what you needed it for, it opened the opportunity for other people to have a better look into your life as well.
Yeah, it opened the opportunity for an HR incident.
Oh, no. Oh, that's awesome. That is amazing. All right. So we got one more thing to do before we get into our big discussion. And it starts out like this.
Oh, I know that sound. Yeah. So that means that you watched a TED Talk, right?
I thought it was Kent's turn to watch the TED Talk. No.
Oh, you're taking turns now.
No, it just seems to work out that way usually. Oh man. Okay, so but you did watch a TED Talk. So pull me out of this this mire of self-hatred that I have here and tell us about the TED Talk you listened to.
Well, or you watched, you should rather. Just be happy that you didn't watch the TED Talk that I watched, because it was 16 minutes of my life that I'm not going to get back.
Okay, so once in a while we hit TED Talks once in a while that just, you know, it, like, we don't get out of it because there's such a high standard expected of TED Talks, because some of them are so powerful,
right?
But we're bound to be disappointed by some, and this was one of them. Tell us about it.
Yeah, this was one of them. You know that I'm a pretty big geek, and I'm into home automation in a big way. We'll talk more about that way. My dog is too, as you can hear.
Yeah, he's all about it. Did he watch the TED Talk as well?
Well, no, actually, I spared him of it. I didn't want to ruin his day too. So I found a TED Talk by Tony Fadell. Now, if you don't know who that is, that's the person who used to work for Apple, who helped found Nest. Nest, of course, known for the uber expensive but wildly popular thermostat that many people have purchased to save money and kind of automate how they control their heating and air conditioning.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's a great product. I own one. And I thought, oh, well, this guy has great history. He's going to be really insightful. So this was a discussion about how to let your perspective on things influence design. I thought, oh, okay. All right. Well, that makes sense given what they've done. So here are his tips. Look broadly, look closely, and question. 16 minutes to deliver that. 16 minutes. Now, I'm not saying it's bad advice. I'm just saying maybe he could have said that in 5 minutes. And, you know, their last TED Talk that I watched was one that you recently watched. It was Roman Mars, about state flags and why are state and local flags so hideously designed.
Right.
That
right.
was a great talk.
It explained it. It gave demonstrations. It showed how they could improve. It was pretty much an all-encompassing 16 or 18 minute talk.
Yeah. And it was funny. And, you know, if you listen to Roman Mars at all in any of the radio stuff that he does, I mean, he's very engaging. Yeah. So I looked for the don't like button on TED. They don't have one. I'm kind of disappointed by that.
So basically he took 3 minutes and turned it into 16, and you weren't appreciative of that.
Yeah. Waste of time.
Something he learned at Apple, not something he learned at Nest, I'm guessing. Because their keynotes just keep getting longer.
Well, that's true, but I usually enjoy them. I usually enjoy them.
Yeah, that's true.
So I'm going to stop talking because, you know, I don't want to ruin any possibility of ever getting folks from Nest back on my show. So
Fair enough. All right. So maybe skip that one and watch the one on flags instead, because it was very entertaining. Okay. So speaking of things that are highly entertaining, seem somewhat wasteful and still from important people, the Supreme Court of the United States came out with a decision last Friday, essentially I mean, we could get into the legalese, but neither you nor me are lawyers. So essentially, it says that states cannot constitutionally stop gay people from marrying each other. That's really the bait. If you cut it down, if you cut all the fat off it and everything else, that's really what it comes down to as far as average citizens are concerned.
I think if I understand correctly, I think it goes a little bit further than that, doesn't it? Doesn't it actually, it doesn't just strike down the ban on marriage. It immediately requires states that support marriage to allow marriage between same-sex partners.
Right. Right. This is one of those points when I wish I was a lawyer. It says that being gay is not a reason to not permit people to marry.
So, right. Actually, that's well put. Yeah.
Yeah. Now I had my first thought on this was, oh, great. Gay people get to suffer the same misery as straight people now in all the states. This is awesome.
Including tax penalties.
Exactly. My next thought was, I still don't understand why it's a point of the government to meddle in who's marrying who in the first place. Maybe I'm a little traditional here, but why is marriage even a thing that the government should have any part of at all?
Well, isn't it inherently? I mean, marriage is, because it is defined by governments at all levels, it is something that that they administer, if you will, for couples. And there are benefits and perhaps disadvantages that are directly tied and offered to married couples from all levels of government. So you're saying, why should they meddle in marriage? But they already do. I mean, the government has been involved in marriage for a good long time.
Well, I can't find it now because I was just looking for it. But I think in the United States, the government itself has only required marriage licenses and such since right around the time of Social Security numbers. You know, the whole New Deal and the Dust Bowl and all that stuff in the 30s and 40s. That's when the federal government started looking at marriage as a legal union, and it was more than just two people saying, okay, we're married, we're stuck together. So it actually really hasn't been all that long that governments have been worried about who's married to who.
Federal. That's a federal example, but
yes.
Marriage licenses and others, you're saying that no marriage licenses were administered by states prior to that? That's not true.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying they didn't worry about it at the national level, like you said.
Okay. All right. That's a good point. But so if your question is why is this issue in front of the federal government, it's because of our judicial process. At the state levels, there were numerous decisions that came down and numerous appeals, and you go through certain cycles and paths in the legal process, and eventually, if it can't be resolved by then, it goes to the Supreme Court. That's just how things work in this country. That's why it's in front. That's why it's a federal issue now.
It should never have been a state issue in the first place. That's all I'm saying. So, but now you have the military, and you have different rules in different states, which, you know, the federal government is supposed to come in and change that anyway. Okay, first of all, let me just say that I am very happy that this marriage equality, because I don't think marriage is actually equal anyway, this marriage equality applies to everybody. But another thought that came through my head, you know, these people that are against marriage of gay people, what are they actually against? Why is it that they're so devoutly, and I don't use that word lightly, devoutly against gay people getting married and enjoying the same rights as everybody else? What do they have to lose from it? What is it about their philosophies on life that changes because of this?
Right. Well, you guys had a very interesting conversation about the Freedom of Religion Act mm-hmm. that was passed in Indiana a couple of months ago. And mm-hmm. I don't think that I agree with a lot of what you said there, but I think the point that is kind of behind all that is that many people's lives are focused around their religious beliefs. And I'm going to make an assertion here, and I hope I'm not offending anyone by doing that, but I see, or I believe, that many people who encounter things that are outside of what their religion deems appropriate or permissible is offensive not only to them, but to society at large, and shouldn't be the way things are. And so it's kind of like there are so many religions where their religion is the religion and everybody else is going to hell. I mean, I'm grossly overestimating here. And
right.
Again, I don't mean to offend anyone, but that is kind of the core of a lot of religions is that your beliefs are the right beliefs and most other people just don't understand or they're just not on the right path and they believe that these people need to be on the right path. Now, again, I don't want to be speaking for people. I understand this is a rough and difficult decision for people. What I think is interesting is that sure, there's been some backlash, and I think you had a really interesting example that you wanted to talk about. But what I think is even more interesting is that last Friday, the support that was broadly shown around the country by many organizations, news organizations, by companies, by celebrities, by just people kind of around the globe, really, because we are we are behind the trend compared to a lot of countries in Europe, for example. And I was kind of overwhelming and surprising, really surprising to me.
I maybe again, it's one of those things where I just don't understand why some people don't think it makes sense. And I think to go back to my question just a second ago, I think a lot of people, like, you don't know anything about my marriage. My and my wife's marriage, what we do in our family, stuff like that, it's part of our family. It's part of our relationship. It doesn't go beyond that, and it doesn't right. have to. We have a child together, and that's pretty much all you need to know about anything that happens behind closed doors. But I know plenty of marriages that don't involve sex. I have known plenty of them. I know, heterosexual marriages that do not involve sex. And to assume that the act of homosexual sex, which they say is a sin, I'm talking about the religious aspect of it here from the right side of the bar. That is inherent with a homosexual marriage. I found trouble with that. I don't think that is something they should be assuming in any way, shape, or form. Unless they want to, make that same remark. Well, according to the Bible, marriage is, sex is part of marriage. So if you're married and you're not doing it, then you shouldn't be married. That's a sin too. How many marriages would that fly with? Probably not too many. Everybody goes through droughts, and it just seems to me that this whole sanctity of marriage is kind of like the sanctity of life. We pick and choose where it applies and how it applies because it sure as hell doesn't apply to my omelet this morning. Where was the sanctity in that? But, sure, you got sanctity on of all the living things that are us. I'm just glad it's over. I think Man, some places, was it the Alabama County? What county is this? I forgot what it was. Pike County, Alabama, just stopped issuing marriage licenses at all. They basically passed the law to where they're like, you know what, we're done. You do your thing, and we're just not going to issue marriage licenses. That way, we're not involved in any way, shape, or form anyway. Just come tell us when you're actually married. That's beautiful. I wish that would catch on.
It is, but what's interesting there is, so you have to wonder, okay, so what happens if you're an Alabama resident in Pike County? You go to some other county or some other state to get married. Now, states will be required to recognize that you're married, regardless of what state you're from. Mm-hmm. And what have they really accomplished? Because are they thinking that they've somehow circumvented their requirement to now recognize these two people as a couple and for them to have the benefits that might be available to them as a couple? I don't know. I don't really know how that would work. Again, I'm not a lawyer either.
I don't think it stops that. It just makes it to where you don't have to ask the states, in this case, the county's permission to get married. It's just a matter of come let us know when you are and we'll register it, you know? So there's still legal marriage. It's just that you don't have to ask the state, because that's really what a marriage license is. You are requesting from the state to be allowed to marry someone else. And I always thought that was kind of weird in the first place. I mean, for like interracial marriage and things like that, it just blows me away how long it took people to accept that and for that to become a thing where, hey, you can, you know, because I mean, I'm in a blended family. My wife is of African American descent. I'm Caucasian mix, you know, whatever you want to call it. A bunch of European different stuff in here, you know. And I mean, the easy way to say it is white and black, but that's derogatory language in my world anyway. But that's how we are. And hell, that wasn't even permitted in all 50 states until 1967. And that was since 1887 or 1787. People have been fighting that. It took almost 200 years to become legal. And it just makes so much sense. Like, why would you want to stop that? How does it make any sense at all to stop that? And I see this is kind of the same issue. It's, you know, why is society, American society, because as you said, European societies have been way ahead of us on this game. Why is it so enveloped in our American society to be so much in people's business when it comes to this?
Yeah, and again, I would tend to point to religion. I don't know that that is absolutely the reason, but I would tend to point to that. And most people believe that marriage is a religious ceremony. And is it correct to say that in some it's a sacrament? I don't recall if that's correct or not.
I'm not sure.
It's a religious thing. There are those that might argue that actually marriage had more to do with land rights than religion way back when.
Yeah, I could see that. I'm so glad it's over. I'm so happy it's over. Like, this is finally, you can just people and I saw a thing. Oh man, I saw a thing on Facebook from was it Billy Graham or I don't know, one of those damn super religious preacher guys that takes himself too seriously, because we all know I have a problem with people that take themselves too seriously. I went on a little rant, and I didn't even go on a rant. I made a comment like, look, it's over. I don't understand why the far right religious people, the ultra conservatives, have a problem with it anyway. Just let it go. And now that it's over, can we all just move on with our lives? And I got a couple replies back about the forefathers didn't intend for this. It's supposed to be, you know, our country's based in religion and this and that. And oh man, that set me off in a direction I did not want to go. I didn't take my meds that day. And about a page and a half later, it was just like, here you go. Blam. Just shut up. Our country is as much as we put into the forefathers. Our country was founded by middle-aged white slave owning, bankrupt anarchists that said all men are created equal and only got away with it because they weren't counting blacks, slaves in any form or women as contributing to society enough that they deserve to vote. So if you eliminate everybody but us, everybody's equal, you know, and we've been fighting that same fight ever since then. And, you know, our country was not founded on religion. It simply was not. In fact, it specifically states in there the separation of church and state. We cannot have a national religion. The government and the religious organizations should not intermingle and co-locate or anything else. Religions of a certain stature have tax-free rights in this country and everything else, so they're not paying tithes to the government, and the government's not expected to get anything from them. It's a clear division. So I really just get pissed off when these people start throwing religious words around, trying to stop, you know, civil unions or marriages, whatever else the hell you want to call it. Doesn't matter. Your religious beliefs do not belong in my country's government. And this is, you know, this is from a patriot that has a lot of pride in the country and the people that he's worked with and lived around and met, and the countrymen that he knows, and has almost zero faith in the quality and ability of our government to actually handle any problems.
But dude, in God we trust.
Oh, who's God? Not who is God, but who's God? Which person's God are we trusting so much?
Exactly.
This, I mean, the original people
need,
that came to our country.
We need some Molly Rant music right now.
Yeah, I know, right?
Ah.
I know. Damn it. The people that came to America, the first people that came to America from Europe that we know of, came to escape religious persecution. They were coming to escape the fact that people had too much say in their religion. And then they came here and they treated the native people, and I'm not saying they're completely native. They didn't always come from here. They, you know, land bridge from Asia or whatever else. But the people that had been there for centuries beforehand, the pilgrims came and they said, okay, we're going to take this. Yeah, we're going to take this. Oh, you don't like us taking this? Well, boom, you're dead because we have more gunpowder than you do. And oh, by the way, how about some smallpox and some measles and, you know, oh, and here's some syphilis for you too. Yeah, that should be fun. So go and do that over there. And oh, well, now we want to be over there, so we're going to remove you from that place too. And, you know, all of this, and people are going to say, oh, well, they're gay, so they can't get married because my God said so. Fuck you. You know, just fuck you. Just move. Just who the hell do you think you or your ancestors are to say anything about the way anyone else lives their life?
Right. So that's really the key point, right? Is that it comes down to a personal rights issue.
Yes.
And so, again, you get people saying, well, then why is the federal government involved? And I might take the stand that the federal government, again, like I said, they got involved because they had to get involved because this is how the courts work. But essentially what they've done is said, this is nobody's issue.
Right.
And that's good. Now, yeah. I do have, as a computer systems person, some advice for everybody. Don't go running down to your local office and expect to get married tomorrow. Because I know I'm not going to be getting any marriage license from a state that doesn't offer it now, because their administrative systems aren't set up to handle that.
You mean they can't just take, go tinkle, tinkle,
tinkle? It's going to take some time. So everybody, let's all be patient. Let's not all get pissed off now that isn't this happening immediately?
You know, that's the next thing. That's, my God, they won't let us get married because they say the system's not updated. They're taking forever to update it. They don't want to update it.
You're not putting the voice on, are you? I'm going to have to give you some shit.
I am, totally. Look, I've only got like four voices, and I have one of them that is my nerd voice and my gay voice. And if anybody's offended by that, well, then they should come on with their own voice because I've only got like four.
Wait, and were what, they and the same?
Those two are for me. That's because I can only do a lisp if I do that little half-ass draw. I mean, I could do my southern draw, but then everybody tells me that sounds awful too. So, you know, it's whatever. Like, I suck at voices. Deal with it.
Here, I thought you invited me on because this is going to be a kinder, gentler episode.
Oh, my. Oh, see, you had to say kinder, gentler, did you? Let me tell you a little something about kindler, gentler, all right? Oh, my God. So I am, I am so fucking fed up with people demanding a kindler, gentler anything. Don't give a shit. You know where kindler, gentler belongs? In the fucking daycare. Outside of that, drop it. I am tired of not being able to tell the people that work for me that they're pieces of shit or that they need to improve in a manner in which my vocal abilities match their retardedness. And I know I just said retardedness and people are going to get pissed off about that. Fuck you. All right. Now, I should be allowed to say anything that I want to say to whomever I want to say it as long as it gets my point across, regardless of how they feel about it. Don't give a fuck. If I say something that you are offended by, guess what? Your offendedness just pissed me off and offended me. So just right. Take Grow it in the shorts. Skin. Yeah, seriously, man. Like we here in the Air Force, back in the day when I came in, we would go out back, light a cigarette, and chew some dude out. And if he had a problem with it, he'd fucking come at us. You know what I mean? Nowadays, I have to like, there's like this 15-step process in order to counsel somebody on their shitty performance. And everything is my fault until I can prove that it's their fault. Like, what about this guy just being a fucking douchebag? What if he's just a piece of shit? He's never accomplished anything in his entire fucking life. He can't even pick his nose the right way. And yet I'm responsible for the dipshittery that he's fucking doing. Like,
you know why? Lawyers.
Oh, my God.
Because lawyers.
Fucking, God, I hate people.
All right. Are we done? Are we moving on?
Okay.
Is there more here?
I could go on for that with hour. I'll go on with that for hours. But I do have something else that I wanted to talk about this week.
All right.
Something that I just thought of it. So Apple came out with Apple Music this week, right?
Yep.
Have you had a chance to play with it very much?
I have spent approximately 20 minutes with it, coming to the conclusion that it's too complicated for me to figure out in 20 minutes. I need to get back to it later.
Fair enough. I downloaded it. I messed around with it a little bit. Now, I've been using, you know, the music app for a while, and so a lot of it was pretty intuitive. I can't listen to the Beats 1. I don't know why. Something here in South Korea is stopping me from listening to the global channel of Beats 1. It pisses me off because everybody's all raving about it and everything else. But as far as the just a random, you know, hit Matchbox 20 and say, yeah, I make a station with this band, it's been really good. It's been better than Spotify or Pandora as far as finding music that aligns with that particular set of music that I gave it. I did spend the time to... When you go through originally, it says what kind of music you like, and I went through and told it what kind of music I like. Then it brings up a bunch of artists, and you can delete the ones that you don't, you know, that you don't care about. You can rate them up or down, delete them or whatever else. And I spent the time until I ran out of artists saying yes, I do like them or I don't like them or whatever. And I've had a pretty good experience with it. So, and but that's me, you know. And I'm an Apple fanboy, so maybe you know I've got rose tinted glasses on or whatever. But that's not what I wanted to talk about.
Oh, okay.
Pandora has been listening to what people want to listen to, like systematically categorizing what people want to listen to and feeding them ads.
Music Genome Project.
Yeah, Spotify is doing it. And now Apple is doing it like up front in your face, not just like behind the scenes. So if they can tell how much music we're spending or how much money we're spending on music, what music we're buying, when we're buying it, they can also tell when we're listening to it, how often we listen to it, how much of the songs we listen to, how those songs interrelate with people in my demographic, because they have all this information. You know, Apple specifically, but I know Spotify and Pandora and, you know, all these other apps, RDO and all those, they all keep this information. And they're all tracking how we listen to our music, what times and how much of the music we're listening to, what we skip, what we listen to. How long is it going to be until we have what I called socially engineered musical singles? a song that they, that when Apple goes to an artist says, hey, you can have a hit single if you make a song about this subject with this tempo for this length of time with these instruments and these type of lyrics. And you put all that together and release it, and then boom, it's already on the Billboard Top 100, like right away, and just keeps climbing, just stays up there.
I think it's a little bit, no disrespect intended, I think it's a little bit naive to think that that's not already happening. Don't you think that that is what music producers have been trying to do with the people, the bands that they bring in and sign up? And one of the reasons why we have so much music that all sounds alike. Yes, I'm old, I know, but I honestly believe that it's come down to a formula for a lot of music houses. And that's one of the reasons why we're starting to see kind of a resurgence and perhaps a celebration of independent artists that are doing something different.
Okay. Well, see, the funny thing is you kind of went exactly where I was hoping you would go with it, that, you know, this has already been going on. But where's that next step? When are we going to get music that is not even, like, maybe there's not even a human element to it. It's just a song designed specifically from algorithm.
Yeah,
or am I just going far too off here? You know, I'm thinking the singularity of the music world is what?
Yeah, that is interesting. I don't know. I mean, theoretically, it should be possible, but I think the problem right now is that the technology is still at a point where it would be too sterile. And I'm not convinced that we're far enough along that the artificial intelligence could actually introduce creative elements that would elicit emotional responses the way that they might hope they would. They may have like all the right pieces or sounds or whatever else, but I think most people that really like music will tell you that there's something very specific and very magical about an artist that knows how to elicit a response from their listeners. And I just don't see artificial intelligence being there yet.
Right. And you're right. I mean, I wouldn't say I'm an audiophile, but I do love watching or listening to live music way more. You know, if I'm in person, because there's a different vibe, there's a different feel that you get from the music when it's actually being created right in front of you and you're listening to it. But this brings in a thought of mine that not too long ago, maybe a couple months ago, CGP Grey came out with a video that was called Humans Need Not Apply, about how all these jobs that we have, you know, between driving cars and delivery of packages and manufacture and all this other stuff, humans are going to be replaced by computers because they can do it cheaper, they can do it more effectively, greater uptime, all that kind of stuff.
But how long have we been hearing that?
In his video in particular, he gave some specific examples, but he said that the one job that would be safe from that are the creative arts, the artists, the musicians, plays and movies, things like that. The creative arts are what's going to save the humans from having all their jobs taken over. And my thought on this was, if we can develop all these algorithms and everything else to take advantage of all the knowledge that we have of all these people, their habits and their, you know, what they like to listen to and their preferences and everything else, when does it get to the point where the computer is going to be able to make the creative things that we enjoy, at least on a mass scale? Maybe not, you know, all the people that are still listening to Pink Floyd, they're not going to listen to it, but on a mass scale, the mass hits, the big hits that are hitting the clubs and everything else, when is that going to be something that's generated solely by computer?
Oh, you mean the music in the clubs today isn't already?
No, it's...
No, I'm just kidding. Like a lot of electronic music. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
When does it go from dead mouse to no mouse?
I don't know. I don't have an answer for you. I think we're far from that. I would be surprised if we see something like that in my lifetime. I think we'll see self-driving vehicles and stuff like that well before we see computers actually doing creative things on their own. I think the technology is way far out on that, but that's just me.
Yeah. I hope it's forever from now. I hope I never see it in my lifetime. I think that would just be absolutely, it'd be so disappointing. I wouldn't want to, you know, I love music. I love live music. I love the feel of the music. I love listening to the expression of the music and the lyrics and how the two can balance each other, or they can be completely opposite of each other and still render an emotion to you depending on how you feel about either one of those. And
right.
If and when music can be controlled or developed seamlessly by computers and they can just do it all the time, I think that's going to be possibly the saddest day of the coming singularity in my mind.
Now, I think there's something that we do have today that is along these lines and kind of interesting, and that is we are getting to a point where systems can figure out what kind of music you would want to be listening to now, or what's the right audio programming for you based on your mood, based on your current heartbeat, based on your activity level, stuff like that. What's the right music for you to be listening to? And for the most part, those algorithms today are pretty good. It'd be interesting to see how that sort of thing gets developed. Can that get developed without being creepy? You know, I'm sorry, Amos, you don't want to listen to that song now. I've instead chosen...
I have decided, sorry, Amos, that song does not match your current attitude and disposition.
Exactly.
Listening to that song at work will be detrimental to your career. You should listen to this song instead. But I don't want to listen to that song. Yes, Amos, you do.
Wouldn't you prefer a nice track from Beck?
Yeah. Yeah, system, go ahead and play both of those nice tracks from Beck. That's what you should do right now.
Ouch!
Sorry. My bad. Oh, I just went there. Okay, so the coming singularity and the music thereof is going to be an interesting time for all of us, I think. But I just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah, interesting to think about.
All right, well, we have one more thing to talk about today, unless you've got something else you want to bring up. I didn't see anything else in the show notes, but is there anything that we've talked about that you want to spark an idea in your nugget that you want to go ahead and share out there? This being the probably the least PC version of any of the podcasts that you do on a regular basis.
I was going to say, of any that you've done, I'm thinking, no, this is not by any means.
No, we've offended far more people than this.
Yeah, we're going pretty mild today. So now the only, you know, you mentioned Apple Music and I didn't realize that that's where that topic was originating from. I think that I did just want to follow up on my comment about it. Honestly, I decided that I wanted to see what it was like. And so I'm one of these people who I sit in front of a computer for work a lot during the day. And when I finish my work day, I switch over to my personal computer and do a lot of work at a desk. I still use an actual desktop computer on it with an iMac. And so I use iTunes as a way of managing my music library. I don't particularly like it, but it is on all my devices, so it is the easiest way of handling things. And I tried to set up my library, and I found it to be just baffling. Like, I went through the setup process, and that was fine. And I have weird music tastes, so, you know, like, I like heavily orchestrated stuff, and I like a lot of soundtrack music that is instrumental. I also like a lot of vocal music, like what might be considered almost like classic crooner kind of vocals music. And none of that stuff was in any of the available categories for the music that you could select from. And then when I did choose some categories that I liked and I went into the different sections, then it shows me a bunch of group names, half of which I haven't even heard of because I've mentioned I'm old. And so I didn't quite know what to do with them. I'm like, well, if I eliminate them, am I going to like kill the chance of finding some new music? But I don't know if I do like them or not. So anyway, that whole setup was a little bit weird. And then here's the thing that really bugs me. All right. I've used iTunes for a long time. I've been buying music from iTunes forever. And I wanted to see how you go and listen to just any old song. It's too hard to get to where you can just listen to any old song. They have a thing where they curate songs for you based on like a style of music or different types of things that you have in your library. And then they have the radio stuff. But if you just want, say, you know, so here's a good example, right? James Horner, a pretty well-known musician who did a lot of soundtrack work, and mm-hmm. his probably most famous soundtrack work was Titanic. Let's not even go there, but whatever. He just passed away.
We don't have time.
He just passed away recently. And mm-hmm. I'm like, all right, well, it would be kind of cool to listen to some of his older stuff. And the process for doing that just seemed like there was no easy way to discover that kind of stuff. You had to search for a name. You had to go to either the tab that says new or the tab that says, I think it still says for you or something like that. And then search in those for a name. Like there wasn't any way of saying, show me soundtrack music or show me vocals or whatever, like you can in the store. So I figured, all right, I'll go to the store and find it, 'cause I know how to find stuff in the store and I'll just play it there. 'Cause the stuff that they're letting you listen to is heavily overlapped with what they have in the store. For the most part, it's the same. It's not all the same. So I go to the store and I look for it. And the only thing you can listen to in the store, even if you have an Apple Music subscription, is the 120-second snippet or whatever it is that they let you listen to. Like, there is no such thing as play the song from the store, even though it's the same song that you can play for free over in the other tab. It baffles me. It's just way too confusing.
A big case of right hand not talking to left hand.
Yeah. Well, or patchwork. You know, we have to cram this in here. Let's just make this its own thing. And then eventually maybe we'll integrate them or something. I don't know.
I honestly think that iTunes as a whole is the one thing that Apple has just added stuff to and not actually redone. They've redone the interface and how it handles files, and they've made big changes to it as it's gone along, but they've never actually just broke it down and redesigned the whole thing. And I think that's what it needs.
Yeah. They tried to do that a little while ago, but in the way that they did it, they tried to simplify things, and actually it ended up making it a little bit harder to use, and yeah, it's a mess. It's always been a mess. It continues to be a mess. I hope at some point in time it improves, but I was just, you know, all the hype about Apple Music, I expected better. And frankly, I'll probably just be sticking with Spotify.
There you go. I really think that if there's a CNET how-to video out there on ways to install or remove features from your program so that it is not overbloated, i.e. iTunes, that's pretty much a good sign that there needs some improvement.
This. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. 'Cause that might've been the last CNET how-to video I watched was back when I was using Windows. I saw that and I was like, you mean I can just delete this since I don't use this computer for this? Oh my goodness. And like a third of the program was just deleted, and I'd never noticed a difference, but it just sped up the process, sped up iTunes rather well. So, yeah. All right. The latest segment we have here, the weekly tithe, is a little section where me and Kent will talk about something that's influenced us, something out there that we think other people need to enjoy more of or can look forward to in order to find a little inspiration or find a direction as far as how they perceive podcasting, internet, you know, where me and Ken have gotten and how we got here. And I thought it was only appropriate, since you were on the list anyway, this week we say a special thank you to Richard Gunther. Both me and Kent have taken keys from your success and some of the things that you've mentioned. And I remember when the first email that you sent us after we had the show and had it going for a little while, I think the email was maybe 30 lines long and 20 of them were no shit things that we needed to improve on. And I think we've done like 15 of them, and it's a much better show and much better experience. And it's weird. There's kind of a gap. I said a couple weeks ago, Tom Merritt is, like Kent called him, the godfather of podcasting. You know, I know he wasn't the first one to do it. He probably isn't the most successful one to do it. But as far as our group of, you know, the podcasters we follow, he's pretty much the top dog. And when we can go to a special event and talk to him, and he's just, you know, there's no celebrity effect to it at all. It's just him helping explain stories or just shooting the shit or just talking about life or podcasting, whatever else. And there's no celebrity effect. That's huge. But then we've got someone like you that, I mean, you're not at Tom Merritt's level, but you're wildly successful compared to me and Kent. you know, and we still look at the way that you do your shows and things like that. And all I have to do, I just shoot you a text and you're like, yeah, man, this blah, 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 you know, or some unsolicited email. Like a couple weeks ago, we mentioned something on the show and you emailed us and you're like, hey, what about this? Blah, blah, blah. And I was like, holy shit, you know, to have a friend like you that's in your position and so helpful to us and still just be normal is amazing. And me and Kent really appreciate it. This week's weekly tithe is that guy right there, Richard Gunther. Of course, you know, the digitalmediazone.com, home on entertainment 2.0.
My dog agrees with you.
See, because your dog knows. Your dog knows. But just a really big thank you to you and for the advice that you've given me and Kent, and for remaining a friend, even though we may have, you know, covered a few subjects that pissed you off once in a while.
I have thick skin. You know, you got to just suck it up.
I wish I could tell that to fucking troops.
I totally appreciate it. I mean, you're going... You're kind of going down there now. Now you're down to me. I you started at the top with Tom. I feel like I'm not even in the same league. But no, you're right. Tom is an amazing guy. You know, we've mentioned this before. I met Tom like 8 years ago or so now, and we've, you know, periodically kept in touch. I guess I would consider him an acquaintance at this point, but really nice guy. He's a really smart guy. You know, you just were talking last week about, or the week that you were mentioning him, you were talking about how he seems to have a steel trap memory. Amazes me the things that he remembers about products that have come out years ago and probably don't even exist anymore. And I really like what he brings. And I love that he's as successful as he is doing this on his own now. I think a lot of people rallied around him when his contract at the
at Twit
ended up coming to an end, and he ended up going off on his own and doing some amazing stuff. And so, I mean, I don't feel like I'm in that category by any means, but thank you very much. And I love watching you guys. I've told you before, I feel like when I'm listening to your show, I feel like I'm listening in on a private conversation. And you're kind of sharing your lives in a way that I'm frankly surprised you're willing to do. And I totally admire that. It's something that I'm not as, you know, I'm not as out there as that. You know, you mentioned earlier, there are things about your life that nobody really knows or don't, you know, things that don't come up. But you talk a lot about your life in this show. And I think that's really admirable. And I think the kind of the point of reference and support that you're potentially giving people in your situation, military people who are just kind of dealing with their lives away from their their homes, you know, just everything that you talk about. I think it's awesome. So I'm happy to see that you guys are going strong. I'll continue to listen, continue to support you guys, and hopefully you won't get sick of my occasional email message saying, what the hell happened to the sound in this episode?
Oh, and I think of that every time I'm editing an episode, I'm like, I can't get the sound right. It's going to, I can hear what he's saying, but oh my God, Richard's going to email. And then sure enough, like 3 days later, here's the email. I'm like, oh, I don't even want to read it. Oh no, I know what he's going to say. But yeah, like I said, you just met Kent down at South by Southwest. We had, you appeared on an episode right before that. Often I will tell Kent how cool someone is and how much we can gain from having them as part of our group or, you know, our inner circle. And he won't see it that way. That's one of the things that makes me and Kent such good friends. We understand each other, but we don't really agree on a whole lot of things. But we have a way of explaining to each other exactly, you know, why we don't, and that, therefore we maintain our friendship. But you introducing you to Kent and you and Kent to you was one of those times when Kent was like, man, why didn't you introduce me to Richard a while ago? Like it just never came up, like, you know. So yeah, you were immediately part of our podcasting family, and I really appreciate the advice, the compliments, of course. And just being a person that we can look at and say, you know what, Richard's been through this and he's doing rather well for himself. We just, you know, need to keep chugging along, making improvements here, making improvements there, and eventually we'll be in that middle stream right there, not the mainstream maybe, but at least the middle stream where we're doing this for fun and it's becoming something we can share with more and more people. So appreciate that.
Yeah, no, for sure. Thank you.
All right. No feedback this week because I think the only email we received was from that guy right there. So I'm not going to bother reading you your own email
saying,
back to you.
What the hell happened with the...
So Richard just covered this week's feedback in person. See, now if you want to do that, if you want to come on the show and provide your feedback in person, you can head on over to ritualmisery.com/support. There's a little Patreon thing down there. It's like the holy shit way of supporting us. It's just amazing. If you don't want to go that route though, you can go to on the same support page. There's a link to the Amazon link. You can just click on that and order whatever you want from Amazon. It'll give us a little kickback, or you can just give us some feedback. Just, it has all of our contact information on there. You can email us, call us, at 567-69-TRMPC. That's 567-698-7672. And just tell us how we're doing or whatever else you want to do. Of course, I'm Amos. I'm at Ethan Kane on Twitter. Kent, if he were here, he would tell you all about his Twitter account, @RM_Del Noche. Man, that's a mouthful. We've got to get him a better Twitter handle. ratebeer.com, username Del Noche, if you want to go see the latest beers that he's on. He's, I don't know, somewhere around 500 or so. And of course, that guy right there, @RichardGunther. It's exactly the way it's phonetically spelled. I mean, it's perfect. You don't have any like weird stuff in there, and no underscores. No, man, I'm so jealous. Like, I can't even think about getting my Twitter handle with my name.
I squatted on it years ago.
You can find more of your stuff at the digital media. My mouth turned off about 30 seconds ago.
At thedigitalmediazone.com, where you can find both of my shows, Home On and Entertainment 2.0. Home On, we talk about home automation technology for DIYers and enthusiasts. And Entertainment 2.0, we talk about all things Microsoft having to do with entertainment, like Xbox and mobile devices and such. So if you're interested in that stuff, come on over.
I've got to say, man, they are really, really kicking it in here lately. There's been a ton of changes that Microsoft is, you know, Satya mania is in full effect. And I don't know how much of this was being, you know, how many of these seeds were planted in the Ballmer days, but every time they come out with a new news release, I'm like, oh, about time. This is awesome. And Microsoft may not be making the big noise with Windows the way that they used to. But man, they're
making noise. They're just making bad noise.
Yeah. Well, we got Windows 10 coming out pretty soon, but I haven't even played with that yet. I'm still waiting. My Windows PC is right there. But as far as the Xbox One and, you know, Office on Android and iPad or iOS and everything else, and just sharing it out there, just making it to where everybody can use their stuff. They're really making strides. They're taking a completely different approach than they did in the 80s and 90s. And I think it's refreshing. I think it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So, you can follow the show on Twitter at Ritual Misery, submit ideas on our subreddit, ritualmisery.reddit.com. You can email us podcast@ritualmisery.com. And if you haven't figured it out by now, ritualmisery.com would be the place to go to find out everything else about our show. like I had a train of thought and then it derailed and it came right back and I wasn't sure what to do with it. So our theme music that I'm actually starting right now comes courtesy of Kevin McLeod. He does great things over there on incomptech.com. If you need some sound for your podcast, I suggest you go there. Thank you for listening. For me, for the absent Kent, for Richard, and for you, this is your Ritual Misery Podcast.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
And cut.
Yo.
All right, anything you want to say to the live watchers before we kill the broadcast and go private again?
Awesome, we have live watchers. Woohoo! Thanks, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's probably just Ray, but whatever.